Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
Today I'm excited for what God is going to do, and I just want to spend this time just praying and just inviting him into this talk, into what we're going to be speaking about. So wherever you are, just relax, and let's just see what God has to say to us. Yeah, so Jesus, we love you, we exalt you, we worship you, we glorify you. And we say, your kingdom come and your will be done, God, in our finances, in every area of our life, in our relationships, in our jobs, in everything that we need, God, in our families, in our marriages. We just invite you into these places to speak. And God, we pray that there wouldn't be one space left untouched by you today. We surrender everything to you right now, Lord Jesus. We give you everything, God. To the best of our knowledge and our ability, we surrender, God. And even those things we don't know are in there needing surrendered, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just take those things right now. As we do, we surrender all to you. We give you our hearts and all that is within. We lay it all down for the sake of you, our King. So Jesus, I just pray that you would just come into everything we're going to talk about today. Just fill us afresh, God, with your words, because your words are life and spirit and breath. We just ask for more of that right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so we're going to be continuing this conversation we've been having on how we are designed to praise, how we are designed to praise God. And last week we started this series and we talked about how sometimes it can be confusing what praise actually is, but we looked at different people in the Bible that actually kept their focus on God and worshiped God and praised God either by what they said, by their actions, or actually by song, and how it changed the atmosphere and how it changed them. We talked about how it actually changes us, and that's the thing we're after. More than anything else, we want to be changed by God. And when we worship him, there's this feeling we have that this is what we were designed to do. There's this feeling of joy. There's this feeling of fullness. There's this feeling of life that we have, and how we know that we were designed to praise God because of how it feels, because it can really relieve us, and ultimately because it's what God made us for. So we said last week that we're going to be looking at different aspects of this. And today we're going to be looking at a sacrifice of praise. So it's all very well and good when we feel like praising God. That's really amazing, and it can be joyful and it can be just so beautiful. But there's these times where it really aches to praise God. There's these times where it's like, how can I choose to allow myself to do that? How can I force myself? I don't feel like it, you know? And yes, we've been saying that when we praise God, it feels good. But that doesn't always come at once. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice praise. Sometimes it's something that we have to give God, and we have to continue to do it and train ourselves to do it. And then we will discover that it's what we were designed for, even in the hardest times. So we're going to look at a story, a guy called Job. And if you've heard of Job before, you will know that he had a really dramatic life story. So Job was a man, he was very, very wealthy, and he lived just way, way, way back in Bible times. And he had everything. He had a lot of, like, oxen, like cows, a lot of camels, a lot of animals that in those days showed wealth. And indeed, even in these days, a lot of animals can show that we are very wealthy. He had all of those things. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He'd done really, really well in his life. He'd had everything he needed, and he knew God. He was passionate about God. He knew God, and really, he had it made. The guy's life was just good, you know? He had a big house, everything. The Bible speaks about Job being really, really blessed. But there's a whole lot of things that happen, and suddenly Job finds that he loses all of those things that he had. So in the story, we read that he was greeted by several servants. Different servants of his came to him and told him one thing after the other that had gone wrong. So first he was told, oh, some of your cattle, some of your oxen have been killed, have died. Okay, you know, okay, that's hard. But I can, okay, I'll try and cope up. Then another servant comes and says, and now your camels and all these different things that you had, all these animals, your servants were killed. And he's like, what's this? Why is this happening again? And then he gets told that his 7 sons and 3 daughters were all killed. They were in a house and the pillars of the house collapsed. The house fell on them and they all died in one go. Just like that, all gone. And Job's life suddenly had really changed. And we read, I want us to read in Job 1, 20 to 22. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So his response, when I went to look for this verse, I remember this verse from being taught as a child, and I thought it would be further on in the book of Job. I didn't expect to find it in Job 1. And I was just looking, and suddenly I was like, it was his first response. It wasn't something that he thought about. It wasn't something that he spent a long time trying to get over before he blessed and worshiped God. It was his immediate response. And that really struck me, that he tore his robes. He was honest. He grieved. You know, he didn't just say, oh, I think sometimes we think Job was like, oh, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't think it was like that. The man in that much agony, you know, I'm sure we can all relate in times in our life where we've lost somebody or something, or some of us may even have had experiences similar to Job that are devastating. The man, it says he fell to the ground in worship. And I would imagine that his the Lord gives and the Lord takes away was more like this. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised, you know? It's like, that's just my imagination, but it's how I picture it. How could he have had all those things happen and just stand saying, oh, everything's okay, the Lord be praised? Sometimes it's a sacrifice. It costs us something. It costs us something to say, even in this situation, God, I praise you. Even in this situation, I glorify you. And I don't know if you can relate to those kind of times, but I can so remember times where I felt like, God, I don't know how to say, I know I should praise you. You know, even this week, at the beginning of this week, I was hearing some things and faced with some personal things that I found really difficult to know how to praise God in the middle of. I was consumed with the situation. I was consumed with being not able to control anything. But the one thing I could control is to pray and to praise. And sometimes it felt like, God, I'm consumed by anxiety here. I'm thinking about what's happening, what is going to happen, is everything okay? I just want to know everything's okay. And yet I had to train myself to say, but Joy, you're going to praise God. And it took so much energy. When we are struggling with something, sometimes it's such a sacrifice because it takes all the energy we have to say, God, I praise you. I don't know what's happening here. I don't like this, but I praise you. And the reason we praise him is because he is unchanging and he is eternal and he is seated on high and he is ever worthy of our praise, whatever is happening around us. It's a sacrifice. Job sacrificed praise. It was painful. And in the rest of the book of Job, you know, the situation didn't just change. Job was really, really struggling. The book of Job has 42 chapters. You know, he was pouring out struggles and he was being honest. We don't want to be fake when we praise God. We want to be honest. God, this is hard, but I sacrifice praise and I glorify and I know that you are good. And those words, when we're in pain, can be some of the hardest to say, but that is the sacrifice. Job spent a lot of just the time he was with his friends just sharing, talking about how terrible he felt, how his life was so difficult. But yet there were points all the way along through the book where he says, but I know my Redeemer lives. But I know that God is seated on high. But I know that God is faithful. It's that posture of heart of I praise you, but it doesn't mean that everything is going well. Sometimes it is a sacrifice. And in the end of the book of Job, we read that he was given back 1,000-fold what he had. He was given back 1,000 times what he had lost. And he was given 7 sons and 3 daughters again. God returned to him what he had lost, and his sacrifice was praise. I believe Job knew the truth of what God can do and how God can give us a spirit of praise, how God can enable us to praise. When we make that first sacrifice, when we decide, I am going to sacrifice praise in this situation, it costs me everything I have, everything I feel, everything I want is to just hide and run away. And sometimes that's okay. But even in that time, it's saying, but God, you are glorified. God, I look to you. God, I trust you. God, help me. Even like Peter said when he was walking on the water, help me. That's praise. It's saying, look, I'm looking to you. We sing a song in this church, Siwezi Bila Wewe. I can't do it without you. Even that is praise. It's saying, I don't know what's going on here, but I look to you. I can't do it without you. I praise you. I am focusing on you. So there's a verse in Isaiah 61, verse 3, which really stood out to me this week. And we're going to read it together. It says, this is what God is saying that he will give us. It's what God is saying he will provide for us. It says, provide for those who grieve, just like Job, just like us, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And it's that last little part that I want us to look at. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Okay. So we're talking about how God can give us praise. God can actually enable us to praise. God is the enabler. And he gives us the ability to do so. But it says here, instead of a spirit of despair. And so I want to use an illustration here. So I'm putting on a bit of a heavy cardigan, to be honest. It keeps me warm. And this is what I want to indicate or to symbolize, a spirit of despair. So when we are heavy, when we are feeling heavy, when we are struggling, it can be very hard to lift our arms and praise God. It can feel like, no, I just want to be like this, you know. I don't want to be lifting my arms and praising God. I want to be just staying like this. Sometimes you even just want to curl up. You just want to be like, ooh. But actually, we need to start to learn to say, God, in the middle of this, I praise you. I couldn't do this for very long in this cardigan. If I started jumping around and moving, I couldn't do this very long. It's a heavy spirit. It's a spirit of despair. And it can weigh us down, and it can cause us to really feel just weak. And I believe that that's the situation Job was in a heaviness, in a heavy spirit, just like I can just about move around here. I'm, whew, this is heavy. I'm struggling, you know? But what we see that God does is God takes our spirit of heaviness and he gives us a garment of praise. And when I wear this garment of praise, I am lighter, I am freer, I am able to praise God, I'm able to move around and praise God, and I feel free. I feel light. And it's not something that I gave myself, it's something that I sacrificed in praise. I sacrificed praise when I felt heavy, and God came along and he gave me a light garment, he gave me a light spirit, he gave me a garment of praise to serve God, a garment of praise to say, God, you are worthy. And my whole body, yes, my circumstances haven't changed, but my whole spirit and my whole body feels lighter because I've looked at you, because I was designed to praise you. I was designed to look at you. And while it can be a journey, we find that God clothes us in this spirit of righteousness and love and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit and in the garment of praise, and we are changed. But I want to show us that this isn't always the way that it comes. I felt like God said, it's sometimes that way, and it's sometimes that you have to keep going until it literally falls off. So I felt like he was saying, sometimes you have to praise God, you have to glorify God, you're heavy, you're making a sacrifice, you're suffering, you're saying, God, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do this, please help me. And sometimes even that is praise, saying, God, I'm struggling, I don't know how much longer I can do this, I don't know how to cope with what's happening to me, it's painful, you know? And you're saying, but you say to praise you, and I will praise you, but I don't feel like it. And we read in the book of Psalms in the Bible that even David said that. He said, I will praise you, my lips will praise you, but why have you forsaken me? I don't understand. Job said those things. Why? Job even said, why did you give me birth? These are things that we think, hey, is that in the Bible? It is, because it's real. God is real. God knows the reality of the human heart. He created us. He knows everything about us. And yet we can be struggling like this, and we can praise God, and we can praise God, and we can praise, to the point where the heaviness literally just falls off. To the point where the heaviness is just gone. And then we make the choice and we say, okay, I am going to put on what God has given me. I am going to put on praise. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. And I'm going to say, God, that you have lifted my spirit. In Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction. And in the end, it says, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God, so that I can glorify him, I can sing his praises. I have a spirit of lightness. My situation may be the same, but I have changed my focus. I have used the authority God has given me to praise him. You know, in every situation we go through that is hard, we have a choice. We have a choice. Are we going to look to God? Are we going to worship God? Or are we going to look at what's going on? And while we look at what's going on, we want to be honest with God. We want to tell God this is hard. But we want to make sure our ultimate focus is still on telling him and looking at him, because he is good. It's also really good to share with people. And sometimes those people can be the people that lift this garment of heaviness off of you and help you to put on the garment of praise. This is who God is. He's faithful. And it's nothing to do with what we're wearing on the outside. So what I mean by that is our situation. Job was in, it says he tore his robes. He was in torn robes. He was down on his knees. But yet somehow this garment, this spiritual garment, was able to be put on him, a garment of praise. It has nothing to do with what we look like on the outside, what our situation is. And it's everything to do with where we're looking and how we praise God, regardless of our situation. So we know about this guy called King David. There was a guy long time ago, again in Bible times, called King David. And he started out as a little shepherd boy, and then he grew up to become the king of Israel in those days. And in the Bible, it talks about him being a man after God's heart, a man who knew God's heart and who was after God's heart. But yet, there were some very crazy things that David did. His life wasn't perfect. But it was a life of praise. It was a life of glorifying God. And he wrote the book of Psalms, which is in the Bible. It's a really, really good book. In this season, I would encourage us to be reading the book of Psalms and looking through the different attitudes of heart that David had, because it wasn't always, God, I glorify you. God, I feel light. Sometimes he was in that heavy place. Sometimes he was in that heavy place that had to be shaken off him through praise. And even then, again, it came back. This is what I want to just tell a short story about. So in the UK, there's this event every year called David's Tent. And they try and recreate the tent of David. In those days, David had a big, big, big tent that he praised God in. And he praised God with all the people, and it was a tent that was always full of praise. So in the UK, they have 72 hours every year where they put up this big tent, and they dedicate this tent to praising God for 72 hours. They have people flying in from all around the world to lead worship. And for 72 hours, that tent is full of worship, night and day, and it's powerful. So I had the privilege to be there a few years ago. And what you do is you go and you camp outside the tent. You camp around the big tent. So I had my little tiny tent, and I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to praise God. It's going to be amazing. And it was, but it rained. And I know we know rain here in Nakuru. I know rain now better than I ever did. But I had not been in Nakuru then, and I did not like rain. And my tent, it flooded. It completely flooded, and I was struggling. I hadn't brought the right clothes. My mom told me it may be cold. I said, no, I think it'll be fine, and just went with some light clothes. And I was freezing. And you don't want to see me when I'm cold and wet. I am so grumpy. Like my sister, anytime you say to her, do you remember that weekend at David's tent? Her eyebrows hit her hair. She's like, yes, I remember. And I remember what you were like. I was so grumpy. But yeah, I was praising God in that tent and had the most powerful time. Sometimes there's this battle we have to face, this sacrifice of, I'm going to praise God. And I remember waking up in those mornings going, oh my goodness, I'm so cold. It's freezing. This tent is flooded. What am I going to do? And it's like I had to just go to that tent and praise God. And I had some of the most powerful times of praise and worship, because when you entered that tent, everybody's eyes were on God. And so my eyes ultimately went to God. And I experienced some of the most powerful times I've ever had with God. Even in that tent, I remember getting this sense that there was going to be a worship movement in Africa that I was going to be able to be a part of. And suddenly I'm seeing what's happening in this church here and going, I think that's what God was talking about. It was like God was so close, you could feel him. You could feel everything he was doing. But then you go outside the tent, and it's still cold. It hasn't changed. Just because you've put on this light garment of praise, it doesn't change the situation always. Sometimes it does, like we talked about last week. But sometimes it's still cold, it's still wet, and it's learning to like dance that dance with God of, okay, I'm praising you, but I know there's going to be things when I come out of here that are going to bother me. Help me to learn to praise you again. And it's a lifelong journey. Help me to learn to praise you again. Help me, even when, for example, I get out of this tent and it's still cold, help me to not be grumpy. I need to try that again because I didn't do very well. But it's like that is the reality of what God is and what he's inviting us to. Sometimes David said in his Psalms, awake my soul and praise God. Sometimes we see people when they worship putting their hand on their heart. And at least for me, that's kind of saying, come on, awake my soul. There's nothing magic about it. It's just training ourselves, awake my soul and praise God. Awake my soul and glorify God. Job fell to his knees, maybe because he just felt like, I don't know what else to do. So if I fall down and I worship you, I'll remind myself how low I am and how high you are and how holy you are. And sometimes sacrifice can look different. Sometimes we can be praising God so much that we actually find we're doing crazy things with our body. Sometimes we actually find that the presence of God can come so strongly and we're looking at God so like powerfully and seeing him where he is and feeling his presence that we suddenly want to dance. We suddenly want to move around. That's also a sacrifice of praise because we're giving our energy, our time, but also we're forsaking what others may think. And just as we're finishing up, I want to look at this story in 2 Samuel about David. So we're reading about David. David had this tent of praise. And also in those days, Jesus hadn't come yet. So they had this like wooden chest that some people may know as the Ark of God, or it was basically a wooden chest that had the Ten Commandments in it that God had given to Moses, and so they were in this chest, and so they saw that as like their ability to be close to God on the earth because Jesus hadn't come. And so they used that a lot, and they would carry it around, and they would worship with this chest of God. So this is quite a long passage, but I just want you to just relax and listen to it with me, because I really felt all of it was important. And so we're just going to read it through. And what I want us to just hear is how David worshipped, how he glorified God, how he said that God is all that matters to him, how he was reckless before God. So I'm just going to read it now. David, dressed in priest's linen, danced with great abandon before God. The whole country was with him as he accompanied the chest of God with shouts and trumpet blasts. But as the chest of God came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, happened to be looking out of a window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before God, her heart filled with scorn. She didn't like it. They brought the chest of God and set it in the middle of the tent that David had pitched. Then and there, David worshipped, offering burnt offerings and peace offerings. Those were ways that they worshipped in those days. When David had completed the sacrifices of burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of God of the angel armies. And he handed out to each person in the crowd, both men and women alike, a loaf of bread, a date cake, and a raisin cake. Then everyone went home. David returned home to bless his family. Michal, Saul's daughter, came out to greet him. And I can hear her saying this sarcastically. She said, "How wonderfully the king has distinguished himself today, exposing himself in the eyes of the servants' maids like some burlesque street dancer." David replied to Michal, "In God's presence, I will dance all I want. He chose me over your father, over the rest of our family, and he made me the prince over God's people, over Israel. Oh yes, I will dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. And as far as I am concerned, I will gladly look like a fool. But among these maids you're so worried about, I will be honored no end." We see at the start of this that it talks about what David was wearing again. There's a lot of reference to garments in the Bible, and it talks about that he was wearing priest's linen. And in those days, as a king, people maybe thought he should have had a cloak, he should have had something really fancy to wear, and instead he's just wearing linen like everybody else and dancing before God. Because his focus was on God, because he had encountered God so much, he had trained himself to praise, he had trained himself to say, "Awake my soul and praise God." He was celebrating, he was joyful, the presence of God was there, and his reaction was, "I don't need to wear anything fancy, I just want to praise God. I have a light garment of praise that I am wearing, and I am singing and praising to God, and I will look like a fool. I don't mind, because I have seen him, I have seen the one who satisfies me. And I don't mind what other people say and what other people think." That's a hard place. And it doesn't mean that if we stand still in worship, that we are not praising God as much as David praised God there. It's learning to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's learning as we worship God. If we get this feeling that we want to dance, we should do it. If we get a feeling that we want to stay still, we should do it. If we get a feeling to bow down, we should do it. It's about learning what God is doing and how God is leading us to sacrifice our praise to him. And I really want to encourage those of us who feel like we're in that hard place, like we're in that place where even just in a certain situation where you feel like, "I don't know how to praise God about that. I don't know how to look to God about that. I feel ashamed." Sometimes that heaviness, that garment, that spirit of heaviness, that we're wearing can be shame. Sometimes it can be hurt. And there was a sense I got in worship just before I came up here that there's some people that feel like you have something very hard coming against you, something very, very hard And it's almost like it's this big, big army coming against you, and you feel like there's nowhere you can go, there's nowhere you can run. Felt like maybe some of it is like relationships that you've tried and tried and tried and tried, and you don't know how to relate with that person anymore, and it's hurting you. Feel like some of it's finances or jobs. You've applied. You've waited for God to provide. And it's like, there's just something coming against me, and I'm just scared. And I feel like God's saying in that place to just take off, to just make the choice to take off the heaviness of that and to just put on praise, to just praise and glorify God in that situation, because he will come through. And it was this sense I had of, like, it feels like there's kind of rocks as well. It feels like there's these rocks in front of you that feel like if I walk through that, it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be really hard to walk there. And I felt like God was just saying those rocks are just going to shrink away to nothing. So if that means something to you specifically, that's great. It was just a sense I got. And in a way, I'm just doing what we're talking about here. I'm just saying, I believe this is what God's saying, so I'm sharing it. But let's never be afraid to share what we think God is saying, because it may help somebody. And if it does, that's the most important thing. And if not, you were obedient. So I'm going to invite the band up now as we get ready to just respond in praise and worship. And I really just want this time to just be about our hearts, like it always is, but it really just felt like today we just want to look into our hearts and just say, God, we're coming back. Like we sang earlier, we're coming back to the heart of worship. Even in these places where we need to sacrifice praise, we're coming back. And even if you can't even speak it out, even if you can't even sing, even if it's just this heart cry of, God, I'm here and I want you, and I know you. Even if it's just that, it's praise. And equally, if it feels like God's just calling you to just lay things down literally and kneel, or anything that you feel he might be just prompting you to do, this is a free space. Feel free to do it, and feel free to just keep awakening praise in your hearts through the week and through everything you're going through. Just keep saying, awake my soul and praise. Awake my soul and praise God, even when things are hard. So I'm just going to pray before we start that God would just heal the hearts of those of all of us that are just finding it really hard to praise God at times. Just feel that his heart is really for that group of people. So we're just going to pray into that, and then the band are just going to lead us. And I invite us as well to just be present with whatever God's saying and doing. If God gives you a word today for somebody, you can still, with your mask on, just go up to that person and give it. We can still do that. That was a culture that we have developed, and we want to keep it. So let's just see what God's doing. Yeah, so God, we invite you into the spaces of our heart that it's painful to praise you. God, we recall the situations that have caused us to question who you are. Maybe like Job, to say, I wish I hadn't been born. These hard places that we don't want to go, God, we go there with you now. And we want to sacrifice praise to you, Jesus. Give us the ability, Holy Spirit. Empower us to find you in the depths of our soul and to know that you were right there all along. And God, for anybody that feels like this army or this, just all these things are coming at them and they don't know where to go, they don't know where to turn, I just pray, Jesus, that we would just be able to surrender to you and just see you just causing all those things to just fade before our eyes. Just pray that if there's just like these rocks, God, these things that feel so hard all around us, that as we praise you, they would just fall and just shrivel up to nothing. Because God, we bring you more than a song. You look into our hearts. You search much deeper within. Even through the way things appear, even through how it looked to Job, you search much deeper within. You looked into his heart, and his heart was to worship you, God. We just release your praise. We just release your praise, Jesus. And we love you. Just heal and enable us right now, we pray. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to invite all of us to stand.